tweet at TodaySOR.
Time now for our Friday gathering. With me in studio, Brenda Parr, columnist with the Irish Daily Mail and the Sunday Times, Alison O'Connor, broadcaster and columnist with the Irish Examiner, Brian Hayes, former Fine Gael MEP, now chief executive of the Banking and Payments Federation, and also here Professor Gary Murphy, head of the School of Law and Government at Dublin City University. I suppose there's no getting away from how homelessness stroke housing dominated the first day or so of the election campaign with the Taoiseach. Was it a gaffe or was it just normal politics, the way he called on Paul McAuliffe, the Lord Mayor, to make a statement about it, Alison?
Oh, Sean, it was a gaffe, to my mind, for sure. I was actually at the Fianna Fáil. It was the first press conference of the campaign, and one of the journalists, I think, must have got a text in about it or something, and asked Micheál Martin what his reaction to it was. But not only, Micheál Martin seemed very surprised. Either he's a very good actor or he was very surprised. But it was actually even, I sensed, a kind of a shock in a room of cynical journalists that this is where events had turned to so quickly. And I think it's something that Fine Gael would have been worried about and will have been worried about in relation to the Taoiseach's how he can do things like that sometimes. I think on the plus side for Fine Gael, while it then dominated the news cycle for a while, they will be hoping it's over now, he's learned his lesson. But the fact that for the last couple of days, even we're just into the campaign, but the headlines have not really been dominated by the election. They've been dominated by homelessness and by crime. And I guess that tells its own story.
Brenda?
Yeah. I suppose, you know, on the other hand, you could say that by accusing him of politicising this awful tragedy, you know, the promptness with which that accusation was thrown back was in itself politicising the event as well. But yeah, I mean, I agree with Alison. It was very ill-judged in the circumstances. And as you say, it has thrown both homelessness and, to an extent, a connected issue of drug use and crime into the forefront of this election campaign. Because, I mean, the reason it does appear, listening to people who have liaised with the Rough Sleepers, that one of the reasons they are not taking the places in the hostels, which are available to them, is because of crime and because of drug use and because of addiction issues. And that itself flows from what we're seeing happening in Drogheda.
I suppose it's inevitable that Leo Varadkar, his government, will be defensive on homelessness housing because, I mean, I think it is the number one issue. Not so much homelessness, but the big affordability gap for people who are working. Someone in our own organisation, our chief economist, said recently, you know, in order for a young couple to get a mortgage of 350,000, they've got to generate an income of over 100,000. Now, when you put in, you know, 3.5 times income plus deposit, it's a massive. So he's obviously defensive about this. Understandably, he's in charge. The ball's at his feet. It's inevitable. The other side of it is this. I mean, Leo Varadkar, he's someone who shoots from the hip. I mean, one of the reasons he became the leader of Fine Gael was he was different. He's not like the normal politician, you know, a bit of this and a bit of that and play it down the middle and all the rest of it. He does shoot from the hip. He's
in
election.
But don't shoot yourself in the foot when you're shooting from the hip.
Yeah, but I think, you know, this is an election, Alison. It's a contest. He effectively fired the gun last Sunday on RTE and this week with David McCullough. So I suppose he's in that mindset. And because the ball is at his feet and he's defended his record, he will be defensive. But
no, he wasn't defensive. He went on the attack. It's a completely different mindset.
Well, no, of his record, though, on housing.
But he went on the attack. Most people tend to think of Lord Mayor in kind of symbolic ways, you know, opening supermarkets and whatever. And that's not to be trite about it, but I think that's the way most people think about the Lord Mayor.
Festivals and fashion.
Yeah, and the Taoiseach view was that he's politically accountable because of his role in Dublin City Council. But I thought it goes to the heart of what's a big question for Fine Gael in this campaign, is that it's the Taoiseach's first as leader of both the party and his Taoiseach, and it's Micheál Martin's third. And I think the experience of both of them, lack of experience in Leo's case, came through this week.
Yeah, and to go back to a quote that I read from Alison's column in The Examiner at the start of the programme, Brenda, Fine Gael are telling us what they will do in the future and Fianna Fáil want us to forget what they did in the past. Now, there's that on the face with quite a clumsy slogan for Fine Gael, a future to look forward to. But if you look at the way they've used it in print, in the visuals, it's look forward.
Yeah, I mean, then just go with look forward. I mean, did they learn nothing from Get Brexit Done, an utterly meaningless, pointless, disingenuous phrase, but because it had a ring to it and because it was easily chanted, it worked. Apart from anything else, Sean, that phrase grates on my ear because of that dangling preposition, a future to look forward to. We're supposedly the island
the
of safety.
Oh, the
God.
Vision, comma with purpose, I think, well, was the best.
No,
was John Bruce.
Oh, you never end a sentence with a preposition.
Listen, as someone who was involved in the last election campaign, which hadn't the most scintillating slogan, I think.
You were director of elections.
I was, actually. Yeah, well, as you'll discover in this place, a bit like political parties, success has many fathers. And I've known that from my years around the scene. But these slogans, I suppose what they're trying to do is to say, listen, we've been here for so long, 9 years. The next phase, we can get things done in a way that we need the economy to be strong. I was struck this week by Willie O'Dea's intervention, which did sort of take off, went viral, as they say, into Brexit's not coming up. And then the Taoiseach said last night, Brexit's not coming up. Yeah. But that's not to say it'll come up at some stage. It's a bit like, I remember the 07 campaign, you know, if Fianna Fáil were in trouble. And then people knew something was wrong with the economy. It was a year and a half before Lehman Brothers. And then suddenly there was a reversion back to Fianna Fáil. I think the Brexit card isn't so much what's been done by the government. Most people feel it's been a success in terms of their team, blah, blah, blah. But it's the risk that could come in the future.
I think what's key to that actually is that he said that at the Fine Gael press conference as well. And I actually think it's interesting. Arrived at the Fianna Fáil HQ earlier in the week, Cumberland Street, kind of a gritty sort of more an alleyway than a street, very urban kind of grit, you might call it, the building, dark enough room, everything is kind of matte. The paint colours. I don't mean to paint a picture. It's perfectly presentable and it's fine. I did find myself thinking, God, poor old PJ Mara I don't think PJ would have chosen this particular location. You go along then yesterday, and I'm walking along just behind the Power Scourt in Dublin and looking for the Irish Georgian Society, which is exactly as you'd imagined. It's the Fine Gael headquarters. Beautiful room, very salubrious surroundings. Now, whatever you want, whatever you want to read in. Into that. But I think you have to put I think everybody has pretty much got off to a good start this week.
Yeah,
okay, apart from that, but I think that you have to put the rest of the week in terms of the mood music of this week. I think it's been a really difficult week just to be a citizen. Mm-hmm. The details of the awful murder of Kinwell Reedy Woods, the man who was so awfully injured in the tent by the canal. I sometimes find myself turning off the radio because I'm worried the kids are listening to stuff.
Stop
I was
me.
Turning things off this week, actually, for and myself.
The sense of darkness in
the society that we're living in.
The problem with Brexit for Fine Gael, though, is that it's a non-partisan issue. There's no one against Fine Gael's approach to Brexit. And so I tend to think it'll become very difficult for them to use that as a stick to attack Fianna Fáil. Heather Humphreys with that kind of appalling analogy of, you're just not trying to put the junior B team on the field, which I think went down like a proverbial lead balloon. But no, but the point
is... That's a variation of senior hurling now, lads.
Well, it is, but
actually,
there's a long way to go.
The Sean Haughey thing hit home yesterday.
Which
the
was?
Notion of Sean Haughey marking Simon Coveney. I think most of us didn't realise that, even people like me who should know, since the demotion of Niall Collins and Timmy Dooley. And I think Fine Gael are correct to highlight this idea of is it an untested, you know, front bench. I think it is certainly of some very strong people, but that there are certainly weak links there.
But just when you talk about how Brexit is not coming up on the doorsteps, I think the reason it was overshadowed this week is because of some spectacularly unusual high profile focus on two issues that do exercise
I think as the campaign develops, it will come back in on the basis. I mean, Fine Gael's clear argument is it's only half done, and they're right about that because there could be another cliff edge in June.
But on the 31st, Brian, won't they?
That's actually going to be played by Fine Gael. Now, the other thing I think that's interesting this week is that they both, Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin, have clear teams around them. Simon Coveney, Helen McEntee, you know, a very clear, demonstrable team out there for Ireland. But in fairness, Fianna Fáil, Michael McGrath, and Lisa Chambers, who's been a star of The Last Doll. That team equally both have emotional intelligence and to realise that actually it's not about us, a kind of a Charlie and Garrett outing. It's actually around the team. And Fianna Fáil will get the advantage, of course, because up to now they don't get the fair share crack of the whip on the PR, because government gets the lion's share of the PR. That's going to change because the rules have changed. So this idea of team, you know, a new team, an existing team, who do you trust? And that's where I think the Brexit issue will come back in terms of the second half of the negotiation.
But the campaign, as far as I can tell, is kind of being based along the lines of Leo versus Micheál for Taoiseach. And we even saw with RT when Sinn Féin had a big spat about not being invited on.
Well, actually, on that point, Gary, I'll let you back in on this one first after we hear the clip, because Sinn Féin have been critical this week of RT over the plan to feature just Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin in one of the TV debates in the run-up. And here's what she had to say when she was asked about it on the campaign trail.
I'm very disappointed at the fact that RTE have decided to go with this head-to-head debate, as they call it. I think there's been a lot of talk about public service broadcasting, and this was a test for the public service broadcaster, and it's a test that they have failed. They've been in government together. They stand over the same policies. And so our party brings a different perspective, a different approach, and we want people to hear that voice and to have the option to support us.
Sounds like we couldn't even afford the price of a mic shield there in that wind, Gary Murphy. But seriously, has she a fair point?
I'm not sure she has. I think there's a political reality that either Micheál Martin or Leo Varadkar will win the most, their party will win the most seats, and they'll be in the driving seat to form a government. Now, whether that's a minority government or some sort of quasi-coalition, and I think coalition government will be very difficult to form. I'm not convinced about this idea of Fianna Fáil will get 60, Labour will get 10, and the Greens will get 10, which will give you a magical 80. First of all, those two small parties have nearly been ruined by being in government before, so the assumption that they will automatically go back in is one that is no certainty, I would say. So I think that people would like to see a debate between the alternative
leaders.
Head-to-head.
Okay, exactly. There will be the other debate chaired by Clare Byrne. It's going to happen in Galway, and there are going to be several party leaders.
And each leader, as I understand it, will have a debate with Brian Dobson, a very substantial debate.
An interview.
An interview.
And they'll be on this programme as well, doing straight interviews.
And it's going to, let's be frank about it, because of the weather and because people are going home and watching Love Island and the Premier League, they're not going to come to the doors in huge numbers. So it's going to be a television and radio election, and people get their information and through this station and other stations through the media. And you're probably dealing with two of the best performers in politics, Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin. These are top-notch politicians, and they're very similar in terms of their debating style. So I think it's right head-to-head, but there'll be lots of opportunities for people to be heard. Either of them will be the Taoiseach, in the same way that Michael McGrath or Pascal Dunhu will be the next Minister for Finance, one or the other. And in that way, focusing on the two parties, I suppose the big question will be, what will be the combined FGFF vote come the end of the campaign? The last time it was 50%. Will it rise to 60? Big question mark. There will be some move in the campaign, and whoever breaks ahead of the two of them is in pole position to form a government.
Yeah, Alison, I imagine, and certainly it was reflected, you know, from the off when we had Micheál Martin on the show on the first day. In fact, it was even before the election was called, linking him back to the previous Bertie Ahern-led administrations, and indeed he was elected in the Haughey era. I mean, that was part of the targeting of him.
Yeah, and looking at him, you know, even on that interview, Sean, with you, and looking at him yesterday, he's, you know, when anything in that sort of shape is put to him or he's questioned on his record and health, he is presenting this front of it. He's very up for it. You can't take from my record. I did this, I did that, the smoking ban or whatever, that he's obviously decided, you know, that he's going to take this. I'm not going to take this lying down. But this is what I was writing about this morning, is this idea of... how much can we trust that Fianna Fáil? He said yesterday, or it was the day before yesterday, I asked him the question about trusting Fianna Fáil. Had they changed? How much they needed to change? He said they had changed, that they had needed to change. The thing about Micheál Martin is he's very plausible, and he has, you know, you would find yourself believing him as he's saying it. But it's actually, even as you look in behind him at the rest of the party, and I think this is what the Votegate thing got at, this idea that underneath it, and particularly if they got back into power, the Fianna Fáil, if I might call it, and they'll hate this, hookiness The lads. Will that reemerge? That's what Fine Gael, that's their soft underbelly. That's what Fine Gael are targeting. Quite right.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I agree. I think he has successfully distanced himself personally from, you know, the Hoy era associations and even the Bertie Ahern associations. But you're right, you know, something like that Votegate controversy brought, as you say, brought right back to the table a suspicion or a mistrust that probably still lingers and isn't going to...
On the other hand, Gary Murphy, I mean, one of the things that's said frequently about Fine Gael, particularly when they've been in office for a period, the arrogance of them. Is that valid? Is that a valid criticism of them this time?
And the entitlement as much as the arrogance. And I think this idea that there's no one else but Fine Gael, which they had been parroting over the course of the last, particularly the last election and a little bit here, it does grate on people and they would want to watch out about it, would be my view. And to be fair to Micheál, I mean, he could have stepped off the pitch in 2011, like many of his cabinet colleagues at the time.
And but a fine big pension for himself, probably giving him more money than he has now.
And many thought Fianna Fáil were, you know, were over, that it would, you know, there'd be the slow death of the once great party. And to be fair, he stuck with it to his credit. But I think Fine Gael are soft, certainly, on arrogance, stroke, and entitlement.
Well,
but they're not without, you know, they're not without.
Well, the Darren Murphy episode is a perfect example of that. Yeah. And the Taoiseach's apparent unwillingness to accept or understand.
And the idea that we would change the rules.
You're really laying it on this morning. Listen,
I'm conscious of the fact that you're going to have to work with whoever is there. So you have to be, you won't be too hard on the other crowd.
Indeed. Anyone who's been in government for 9 years, there's always going to be the charge of arrogance and taking things for granted. That's inevitable. I remember once when I was elected in 2007 and we were all in the plinth and we won about 10 or 11 seats and things were great. And I turned to the cleverest man in Irish politics I ever met, Paul Connington, TD. And I said to him, Jesus, Paul, another 5 years in opposition and God. And he turned to me and he said, see those gates down there, Ryan, every time you get through those gates, everything else is a bonus. And the point he was making was, you know, it can seem an endless period in time in opposition, but things do change. And I suppose that's the challenge for Fine Gael. They're there 9 years. They have definitely brought the country in a better direction. Most people recognise that. And I think the real issue will be in week two, week three, have they got the team? Have they got the policies to move it forward? And I think that's the kind of question that people will focus
on. Isn't it fascinating how neck and neck they are? Because as someone in Fine Gael pointed out to me during the week, and it's a very obvious point, but it's a good point, they said, yes, we have been in government for nearly 10 years, and that is a disadvantage. However, after that 10 years, Fianna Fáil are still only neck and neck with us.
But interestingly as well, Brenda, it's one of the oldest tricks in the political handbook, governments campaigning against themselves. Fine Gael, and we had it from Owen Murphy here earlier, saying, you know, it's not enough. We haven't done enough.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Enough. What was the famous slogan? A lot done, more to do. And I mean, a future to look forward to suggests that, you know, we want to put this particular era behind us and that there's more ahead. So, yeah, but how saleable or how marketable that particular approach is when you have had two terms is difficult. I can't see it.
Meanwhile, I suppose overshadowing this, and we alluded to this in our previous conversation or in the earlier part of it, the awfulness of that killing, Gary Murphy, of that youngster, 17-year-old.
I have a 17-year-old son, and you know, I can't compute the pain and anguish that the poor boy's parents and family are going through. It's just appalling. In my view, it's a threat to the authority of the state, and the state needs to clamp down with everything it has. And when the state comes after you or comes after gangs, like it did in Limerick, setting up at the CAB, it works. And I think something similar needs to be done. And we cannot have the state being, you know, challenged, these characters flaunting their wealth and flaunting, you know, the intimidation of the decent people of Drogheda and of North Dublin. And I think it's, in many ways, it's a cross-party issue, I think.
We've allowed a subculture to exist in a small number of areas right the way across the country. It's not just in Dublin. And we've allowed it to exist on the basis of the kind of terrorism that these people inflict. And, you know, 17, Gary, I have an 18-year-old kid. The two cases, the stabbing in Cork, this kid, both of these kids were on different trajectories in life, clearly. But the utter waste that has emerged, why would someone go to a house with a knife last night in Cork and just and decided to stab someone? How easy life is and how appalling
how cheap it is.
How cheap it is.
For these people.
But can I just say, you know, here we see, as far as I can see, a parallel with the Kevin Lunny situation. It has taken an appalling, shocking, you know, nationally horrifying incident to galvanise a reaction that really should have been in place long before this. The Gardaí do, as you say, they have CAB, they have special response units, they have the intelligence. If you looked on WhatsApp this week, you got the names of pretty much everybody involved in that killing, along with the photographs if you wanted to see them. So it's not as if these are master criminals who are beyond detection.
Remember John Bruton?
Or capture.
Remember John
Bruton? No, but the point is, Brian, these resources are there. These people are flaunting their wealth. They're flaunting their power, and they're using these opportunities to terrorise. These are lawless.
There's sometimes society. It comes a moment. I remember John Bruton telling me a story once in relation to the CAB and the Proceeds of Crime Bill that Gary referred to. They were the two fundamental pieces of legislation that went after Veronica Guerin's murder. And I remember he saying to me, you know, on the months leading up to that period, when these things were suggested, certain people in the Attorney General's office or the legal establishment, you can't do this, you can't do that. Sometimes it takes an appalling tragedy like that to say, no, the state is going to do this and we're going to do it. And it takes political leadership to do it, exactly. And sometimes politicians can really reach out and do things that are extraordinary and put people out of business because of political leadership.
But if it doesn't happen now, in fairness, it's never, ever going to happen.
There have been some very good discussions in the last few days, but I think one of the things, anyone who's gone out tonight or over the weekend and taken drugs, you have to be realised it ain't a victimless crime.
Exactly.
That's what's created the demand.
No disagreement on that point. Alison O'Connor, thank you indeed for joining us. Thanks also to Brenda Parr, Gary Murphy and Brian Hayes. And in news headlines on a related matter, a 20-year-old Engineering Institute student who died after being stabbed in Cork last night has been named as Cameron Blair from Ballinascarty Village in West Cork. He had been studying at Cork Institute of Technology, and police in Northern Ireland have launched a murder investigation after the body of a 25-year-old man was found in the Lake Road area of Craigavon last night. That's our lot for today. The programme produced by Mary O'Hagan, researched by Amy Ryan. Tara Campbell is the series producer. Father Kearney was on sound. Anne-Marie Donlan was the broadcast coordinator. Over now to Ronan.
Thank you, Sean. It'll be a frantic Friday.